Congregation, the text for this morning, our sermon, is from Psalm 16, the verses 5 through 11, but let us only read verse 10. Psalm 16, verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So far. The comfort of David's messianic Easter psalm. The comfort of David's messianic Easter psalm. It's an Easter psalm, Psalm 16. It's a psalm about the Lord Jesus, messianic. And there's so much comfort in there. The comfort of David's messianic Easter psalm. Threefold. The comfort of the Lord being mine inheritance. Mine inheritance. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Oh, that inheritance. Secondly, the comfort of my flesh resting in hope. And you also see in verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. In the third place, the comfort of fullness of joy in God's presence. As you see in the last verse, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The comfort of David's messianic Easter psalm, the comfort of the Lord being mine inheritance, the comfort of my flesh resting in hope, the comfort of the fullness of joy in God's presence. Congregation itself in Psalm 16, a miktam of David. A miktam of David. We don't exactly know what that means. But there's something hidden in there. The word gold. The golden psalm. It's a golden psalm. Like some more psalms. The Psalms 56 through 60. And also miktams of David. What we think is that it is called a jewel. A jewel of a psalm. Made in difficult circumstances, with pain and sorrow, and yet joy. It's such a black bedrock, preserve me, Lord. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, but yet also that joy, a jewel of a psalm. And as I said, it is an Easter psalm. Especially the verses 9, 10, and 11. That's why we also heard the same psalm being quoted in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, by Peter on the day of Pentecost. He almost quotes the whole psalm, at least the half of the psalm. And he says what David is talking about in Psalm 16, is fulfilled with Easter. Because there the Lord has made it through my flesh and rest in hope, that I not leave my soul in hell, neither shall thou suffer in all one to see corruption. No corruption, no decaying, but life. The psalm has been quoted also in Acts 13 by the Apostle Peter. And the reason there, listen to this, therefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, was laid to his fathers, and saw corruption. Did he say? The Apostle Peter said, David, King David, after he died, he saw corruption. He was buried. He did not rise. So this Psalm 16 cannot be about David. It must be about the Holy One. It must be about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter reasons. Let's try to follow him. Preserve me, O God, for indeed I put my trust. Oh, look at the first verse. That's interesting. There is apparently some concern. Preserve me, O God, David exclaims. Preserve me, please. It is not going well. I'm afraid. Preserve me, O God. For indeed do I put my trust. For I trust in thee. Lord, I trust thee. Lord, I believe in thee. Preserve me because I believe in thee. Don't make me ashamed. He prays in faith. He prays with expectation. He prays in the sense of, like, I can always try. He prays in the sense of, Lord, I beseech thee, I trust in thee, Lord. So he is pleading in the Lord and not doubting, but bold in prayer. And he counts on God. He is in trouble and asking if the Lord would preserve him. But he's comforted. He's comforted. And he speaks about an inheritance. He speaks about a cup. To be filling the cup for him. He is talking about a lot. A place, a piece of ground, a lot for him. He is talking about pleasant places. And he's talking about a goodly heritage. What is he talking about? What do you think, children? Ask David. David, what are you talking about? An inheritance? What do you mean? A cup the Lord fills up with what? A lot is fallen into your hands, a pleasant place, a good inheritance. What is so good, David? Tell me. Well, he can tell you. Verse 5, the Lord himself is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. It is the Lord himself. The Lord has given himself to me. And the Lord is my portion. That's all I need. That's all I enjoy. That is my comfort. That the Lord is my portion and my Lord. Thou maintainest my Lord. Oh, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Let me give you a picture. Example. Suppose one of your friends is coming over and says, I have news for you. I have an uncle. How do you see him? Some far away in Europe. And he died. He was a wealthy man. Now I have inherited $1 million. He tells, your friend tells you. And you respond to him. You also think about it. He is so happy that he has unexpectedly received such an amount of money. And you go home. You think of your situation. You don't have that. He is certainly rich. And you are still poor. But maybe you would say, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion and my Lord. I have more. I have infinitely more. The Lord is my portion. And he is my Lord. See, how is that in your life? Let me first explain a little more. When the people of Israel came home from Egypt, the land was divided for them, right? The land of Abraham was divided. And all the tribes received a fair piece of property. But I read in Numbers 18 something about it. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land. Neither shall thou have any part among them. I am thy part, and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. So the tribe of Levi did not receive a piece of land. The Lord said, I'm your peace, I'm your inheritance, I'm your cup, I'm your Lord. David must have that in mind. And he now also sees the spiritual side of it. And he says, like the Levites did not receive land, they received the Lord, so God's people today receive the Lord himself as their inheritance. The Lord is my portion. That is my comfort. What is your portion? What is your portion? Your inheritance. Your Lord. Your good inheritance. What is it? You say, I am happily married. That's great. Is that the best portion? It will end someday. You will not be married forever. There comes an end to all things. Is it having children? Oh, blessed is the man that has filled this quiver with it. Having children is precious. Is that your portion? Is that all? Is your portion a good job, making lots of money? You do thrive and you do well, and you say, I'm so blessed. I have such a portion. I didn't think it would ever come so far in my life. Now see how blessed I am. But can you not say, the Lord is my portion? Maybe it is honor, success, health, whatever. This is all temporary. It's all fleeting. It's all so much less than what the Lord gives. The Lord, my portion. That was the free gift. When you receive an inheritance, you don't pay for it, do you? You don't purchase an inheritance. It's for free. It is no strings attached. It is just fall to your lap. And so David says, that is my portion. The Lord has given himself for free to me. He is my inheritance. I did not pay. I did not qualify. I did not do something for it. It is free. The maintain is my Lord. It's even so that the inheritance they received is also his and will remain his. He will not lose it. Nobody can take it away from him. No. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Look at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. I have the Lord before me. I look at him. I have him always before me. He is close to me. I see him. I place him before me. I tell myself, look at him. He is here. I have settled always before him, because he is at my right hand. He is at my right hand. He didn't say, I am at his right hand. No. He is at my right hand. God is at my right hand. Is God at your right hand? What's on your right hand is most important. This is the hand of favor, the hand of activity, the hand of faith. He is at my right hand. He is foremost. He is not at my left hand. My right hand. And because he is in my right hand, I shall not be moved. Is he at our right hand? Is he still there? That is most important. Thou maintainest my Lord. Thou maintainest my inheritance. Because if God would it, we would lose it. We'd receive the inheritance and we'd spoil it and waste it, and people prey on you and they take piece after piece away and you have nothing left. That, by the way, often happens. And people have a huge inheritance. They don't spend it wisely and they just lose it. But David says, with this inheritance, the Lord maintains it. There's the devil, there's the world, there's all flesh circumstances, all doing their best to take it away from you. But the Lord will maintain it. When he gives his people that inheritance, nobody is going to pluck it out of his hands. They're his people. God, at the right hand, the Lord is not only his gift, he has also received it. He received it. He is at my right hand. I will not be moved. David's comfort is also that inheritance. And on Easter we think about that. On Easter we think of the risen Lord has conquered all enemies and purchased the inheritance of his people, and all things where we are. How poor we are if we miss this. If we've only this life. Young people, children, maybe you think I like to be rich. I will work hard, but you will lose everything. You have to think of that one thing, Israel. Most important, the inheritance. God himself. The Lord says, I am your God. You're my people. That relationship with him brings to the same thought. The comfort of my flesh resting in hope. Luke 9, last part. My flesh shall also rest in hope. My flesh, my body. My body shall rest in hope. What? I always thought that the Lord has come for the soul only. For spiritual things. And not for the body. And now we read that he has come for the body. Is it true? My flesh also shall rest in hope. So think of a funeral of a child of the Lord. The cast is brought to the cemetery. Our Lord. And there we may say it, if it is a child of the Lord, this person shall rest in hope. My flesh shall rest in hope. Resting place, sleeping, in hope. In hope. What do you mean? We hope for the best. There's sometimes who we say that when people live this life, right? We say, we hope for the best. We hope he is in heaven. We hope he was converted. We hope it. When he arise, if you say, I hope that someday we'll still receive in the Lord. I just hope for it. I can only hope. I do my best and I read the Bible and I hope it. No. That is not the word hope in our text. But hope here means certain expectation. Expectation. The hope of eternal life is the expectation of it. My flesh shall rest in hope. So God's child, looking at death, thinking of the funeral, says, my flesh shall rest in hope. There comes a day that my body will rise again. Rest in hope, rest, not rest, but someday they'll also be activated again and be raised into a new life. My flesh or soul shall rest in hope. The Lord Jesus took upon himself a human nature. Why? Why you say he had to be born in Bethlehem? Yes, why? Why you say that he could also obey the law for his people? So he obeys because we can't. Right. And what else? Why you say the Lord Jesus took upon himself a human nature so he can die and suffer? Right. The more. What else? The Lord Jesus took upon himself a human nature because he wanted to save the human nature. Saving the human nature, the flesh of his people. Because they are sick and they have problems with their vision and their breathing and their balance and you name it. All the bodily weaknesses of God's people are included here. And yet the Lord shall make them rest in hope. And the Lord shall restore them. They shall rise in perfection. They will do well. Expectation. So let me prove that from Hebrews 6 And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, thereby two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for the refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil. See, the body, because we are resting in hope. The grave does not have the last word. Also look at verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. That's hard, right? Do you understand that? David said to the Lord, Lord, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Understood? So some would say, I don't get it. Is David going to hell? Is his soul in hell? And the Lord will not leave him there? So the Lord Jesus leaves some people alone in the grave, in hell? That's why we read Acts 2, right? But hell here means the grave. The grave. David says, and also true for the Lord Jesus, thou shalt not leave my soul in the grave. Then I'm buried. You may think I'm alone in that cold grave. I'm not alone. He will not leave my soul in the grave. You say that when it says soul. Well, sorry. The word soul also has different meanings in the Bible. Sometimes the soul means you. You as a person. You personally. I'm not talking about someone else, it's just about you. My soul thirsteth for God. Who is thirsting? My soul? Or you? Then you say, my soul thirsteth, you say, I thirst. Completely me, every piece of fabric of my soul. My soul thirsts for God. And so David says, I will be in the grave with my body. But the Lord will not leave me alone there. He will still be with me. He will not leave my soul in the grave. My flesh shall rest in hope. David believes in the resurrection. Believes that someday the Lord Jesus comes back and that all people will rise from the dead. All? Also the unconverted? Also the unconverted. Let's first say this. When God's people die, the soul goes to heaven, right? And the body remains in the grave. But the Lord will not leave him alone in the grave. Not alone. He will keep an eye on the grave, on the dust, in the grave. He will not leave the soul in death. But when the resurrection comes. Then God's people will be, I'll be raised into life, and then I'll inherit the new earth, the kingdom. But God will be all in all. But now what about the unconverted? They also receive their body back on the day of the resurrection. I see the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books are open. And then they were unconverted in hell, in the real hell, with their souls will also be raised. And then death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So also the unconverted ones will always have their own body. God's people will keep their own body. You too. For a while you lose it, and anyway, he will return it. So you may even pinch yourself, this body will also have eternal value. And Lord Jesus rose from the dead to save also the body. Isaiah 11. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice as well. Then they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. See, God's children will inherit all things. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the resurrection of Jesus was the first piece of that. And so is it more before. But his resurrection, Easter, is the beginning of the kingdom, of the new heaven and the new earth. The comfort brings to the third thought. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. It is typically true for the Lord Jesus himself. He is the Holy One. He is the different one. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The Lord Jesus would not see corruption. He would rise from the dead. And then verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. What is the path of life? That is especially the Lord Jesus. He is the way. He is the life. He is everything we need. He will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Fullness. Sometimes it's joy. We have bits and pieces of joy. Sometimes we say that was nice. We like it. But this is fullness of joy. It is the fullness, streams of it. In thy presence is fullness of joy. The Lord Jesus earned that with his payment. And it was also made clear on the day of his resurrection. It was an everlasting pleasure. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see in verse 11, again, the right hand. So David says, the Lord is my right hand. And the Lord says, David, you're at my right hand. So right hand to right hand. So holding hands. So the Lord gave his people unspeakable joy, a fullness of it. There is an abundance of it, fullness, abundance. It's enduring. It is perpetual. It is continual. It is until the end. Here on earth, there are many things not so pleasant. On earth, everything is temporary and partial, and nothing is perfect. If not, then the Lord gives special moments. There's always something that gives your soul that God's people experience that they don't have everything yet. There's so much more yet. There's a joy, but there is also a laboring, a fighting to enter in. By those attacks of Satan, there is suffering. There is the time that death comes, and yet the time comes that they will also live this life. They will also have their body washed over in the grave, their soul in heaven, and then wait for the time that he comes back, and he will also give them back their bodies on the earth, on under the heaven, and then God will be on all. Then he will have the fullness of joy in his presence. That is the most important thing. So the Lord is my portion, and his presence is my joy. Is it also true for you? Do you know of the joy? What shall we then say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See? So that is the future for God's people. Thou wilt show me the power of life in thy presence is fullness of joy, fullness of sweetness, fullness of happiness. The Lord has made us to be happy. And the Lord will also give that after the resurrection. There will be an eternal peace with God. So in summarizing the congregation, a few questions. Do you understand this one? Preserve me, O God. Please preserve me. For indeed do I put my trust. Do you? Do you also know what that means? The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Then the Lord gives a new heart. It is not only that I have peace, that I like to be loved, that I like to receive gifts, especially the closeness to the Lord. The first thing for him. So do you know about that? Do you long for God in your portion and your inheritance? Do you believe that the Lord will maintain it? Be with the Lord. He will maintain your lot. Is that your hope, your expectation, your trust? Are you content with the goodly inherited? Does Lord sometimes counsel at night? Right? Who has given me counsel, my reins instruct me in the night seasons? This psalm is very experiential. At night, he could sleep. He's turning from one side to the other. But the Lord spoke to him. And in the night, he also experienced that his reins instructed him. So his conscience, his meditations. And he was so close to the Lord. Are you convinced that your future rests in hope? So what do you think about your funeral? You think of your funeral, your body being in the casket, your body being lowered, and your body being left alone, and say, Lord, thou wilt not leave my soul there. Thou wilt not leave me there. I will be under the watchful eyes of the Lord. That means so much. Do we trust in that God showing the path of life? Is he at your right hand? And you at his right hand? Do you have that closeness sometimes to the Lord? Christ took upon himself a human body, not only to be able to suffer and to die and to obey, also to save it. So not only your soul is at stake, your body is at stake. Honor your body. Love your body. We must love one another like ourselves. Don't only love your soul, also love your body. Do not give you a body to have it back someday. And pray. Thy kingdom come. Would you pray that? Lord, thy kingdom come. Not only in the hearts, through the preaching of the word, but also finally in its perfect state, may God be all in all. Thy kingdom come. We read in Revelation, so come, Lord Jesus. So when someone understands Easter, he will also say, I look forward to his coming again, and to all the people will be resurrected, and God will be everything. Young people, you have only one soul, right? You also have one body. You've only one body. So don't let the body suffer and go to hell. This is a place for the soul and a place for the body. For God's people and for the antiferals. Seek him and live. Amen.